Welcome to Crossbody of Work. My name is Evan.
And I am Javier.
And we're back at it with another wonderful episode this week. And this week we're looking at one of my country people, a Canadian, Trish Stratus. And it's going to be a very stratifying episode.
I can't believe you really just said that. I like that actually came out of your mouth. Trish Stratus. I love Trish Stratus. I'm sure every male listening to this loved Trish Stratus, continues to love Trish Stratus to this day. I've got some very strong opinions about Trish Stratus, and I really don't like saying the name Trish Stratus.
It's really hard. I was going to say, you're having a hard time.
It's really hard. Trish, I'm sorry, English is not Stratus. My first language. It's difficult.
And if you're wondering why I sound the way that I sound currently, I am recovering from a cold, so this is my Michael Jordan flu game. I'm going to power through it for the people, and I'm going to drop as many points as I can with my... Are you my Pippen or are you my Rodman in
this scenario? I'm definitely not your Rodman, I'll tell you that much.
I think that's fair.
I'll be Phil Jackson.
There you go, the one who actually knows what's going on. I appreciate that.
Yes.
So the way that the podcast works, if you are unfamiliar or just joining us for the first time, we pick five matches in someone's career. We watch them, we review them, we break them down, talk about things we liked, we didn't like. We also pick one promo to look at. The promo we picked for Trish is very weird, but we'll get into it. And then we invite you to also watch the matches, listen along with us, give your thoughts, reach out to us on social media, stuff like that. And Trish Stratus is our first female competitor that we're looking at, and I would say one of the trailblazers of what has now become the women's evolution.
Yeah, Trish Stratus, I'm going to say it, the GOAT, the best female wrestler WWE's ever had. I am going to feign ignorance on this. I don't watch nearly as much women's wrestling outside of the WWE bubble. Pretty much outside of the American bubble. Obviously, I know what Gail Kim did with TNA. Her and Awesome Kong were amazing there. Obviously, I know what's going on now with AEW. The Women of Honor stuff I've gotten a little bit of, but I'm going to feign ignorance to the Joshi stuff in Japan, the Stardom stuff, unless they've come through to the WWE, like you've seen with Asuka, Io Shirai, Kairi. I just don't know. It's not my level of knowledge. I'm also going to say that Trish is the best because I'm not going to say that someone active is the best. I'm not going to say it's Charlotte Flair, who's only been really on WWE programming since 2014, 2015, which is when her NXT run started. I'm not going to say it's Sasha because she's the same thing. Same thing with Becky. Same thing with Bayley. Honestly, if I had to choose, the reason I choose Trish was because she's the one that resonated with me most. I miss peak levels of AJ Lee. I missed, peak levels of Beth Phoenix. I didn't get to see those people. So to me, it's Trish Stratus. And she was obviously held in that regard by WWE, as we'll see with the last match that we have coming on here.
And I think we can maybe qualify it as Trish is the GOAT, the North American GOAT, like the Western wrestling GOAT for right now.
Yes.
Like the amazing women superstars that we have, a lot of them cite Trish as an influence. People like Bayley, a lot of the Divas era women's wrestlers all cited Trish Stratus as an inspiration. And so I think we wouldn't necessarily have this evolution of women's wrestling without Trish. And I'm sure that when we look back in terms of match quality, the match quality we're getting right now in specifically WWE women's wrestling is undoubtedly ahead of where the women's matches we're looking at from the Attitude Era are. And maybe some of the women we have right now will be in the GOAT conversation. People like Sasha, Becky, Bayley, Charlotte, Asuka, maybe Shayna, who knows, Bianca Belair one day. But for now, I think it's a comfortable assertion to say Trish is at least one of the top two Western women's wrestlers.
Yeah, I would say it's between her and Lita. And you know, we're going to see a lot of Lita on this list because those two are obviously intertwined in their histories. You know, another argument could be made for Mickie James. I was not the biggest Mickie James fan. I can respect the work she does. She is a fantastic wrestler. She's very, you know, good on the mic. But I just felt like peak Trish was so good and so consistent. And the level of progress that she made in her career, you know, she was the most important woman in a time where women were really regarded as like crap. Like, she was serious about this. Like, she took wrestling serious. She went from model flashing her giblets all over the place to being, you know, one of the better in-ring workers in the industry as far as the women's side of the thing goes.
You actually just said giblets, and I'm so concerned. So that's actually something I want to talk about off the hop, is when you go back and you watch women's wrestling specifically, or anything involving women in WWF or in early WWE, it is not shown in the best light. It is not given the right amount of time. So some of the early matches, Trish is kind of thought of either as an afterthought or as just eye candy, which is unfair to the talent that she clearly had and developed, because over the five matches that we've selected, you're going to see a lot of growth in terms of in-ring skill, in terms of kind of control over character and ability overall as a performer. And I think it's kind of unfair that people kind of lump Trish in as, oh, well, she was an Attitude Era women's wrestler, like she didn't actually wrestle. You see her grow tremendously through these five matches. So, unfair assertion, I would say, especially to people like Trish and Lita, but one that I hope we can kind of knock off as we go through these matches.
And you'll also see her put more clothes on during her matches. That's definitely, as we transition further away from her storyline with Vince McMahon and outside of the Attitude Era. We see her, thankfully, wearing more clothes and being able to not be viewed as just a piece of meat.
And not having storylines that are exclusively about being with a man.
Yes.
Like, storylines that are about her as a human being.
Yes.
So, a little bit more background on Trish before we hop into the first match. She is a WWE Hall of Famer, inducted in 2013. Fun fact, did you know? She has, in the modern era, so not including the Fabulous Moolah, the most days as champion, has 828 days as women's champion.
I did not know that. Wow, really?
Yeah, including one of the longest reigns ever, and we'll get to one of the matches in that reign a little later, at over 400 days. But also, more fun facts, in 1999 is when she was signed to WWF, but before that, she hosted a live audio wrestling show in Toronto, which means that one day, you or I could grow up to be Trish Stratus.
I don't know if we can grow up to be Trish Stratus.
Don't crush my dreams, Javier.
Maybe. Now, this is maybe a far idea. Maybe you can one day be a Renee Young, you know?
Oh, I'll take that.
Yeah, we'll take that. You can be a Canadian host.
We'll take that.
But Trish Stratus, unfortunately, we cannot be. We have no shot at being fitness models.
This is true. All right, so we're going to get into the first match. Now, when Trish debuted, she debuted as a valet alongside Test and Albert, also known as TNA. Haha, a joke that Impact only got over in 2017. And the first match is a six-person tag match, intergender. So it's Test Albert and Trish Stratus versus Team Extreme, Matt and Jeff Hardy, and Lita at Fully Loaded 2000. And we said that there was going to be a lot of Lita on Trish's matches, and this is her first appearance on the list. What'd you think of the match?
You know, there wasn't a lot of interaction between the two, you know, that and that was smart, obviously, with the story that they were telling. You know, it was a lot of the announcers talking about their feud more than anything. Jerry the King Lawler was in peak Jerry the King Lawler mode here. Definitely talking a lot about Trish, singing her praises, and definitely hoping that she got into the ring. Trish was wearing a very skimpy attire, with a top that didn't cover much and bottoms that covered even less. You know, it was definitely made for the King to enjoy everything. But yeah, no, the storyline here was the Hardy Boys and TNA were in a rivalry. Trish was messing with Lita, who had by this point only recently joined along with the Hardy Boys. And you know, she was sort of, it was sort of a way to get some sort of intergender stuff. You know, you could have six people involved in a tag feud rather than your traditional two tag teams going at it. It was a valet feud that could be taken seriously because it was two people who did know how to wrestle in Trish also, and Lita.
It was really intense in the video package that they show before the match. I didn't know this. Trish put Lita through a table before this match?
She put her through a table and she also whipped her with a belt.
That's metal. That's awesome.
Yeah, no, it was brutal. And, you know, it led to a pretty brutal match. I mean, it was hot from the beginning. As soon as the Hardy Boys came down, they got immediately to the action. They slid into the ring. Hardy Boys went for Test and Albert. And Lita went straight for Trish, who ran out of the ring. And when Lita rounded the corner to chase after Trish, she ran right into Test. It was hilarious.
Test, another Canadian, just because I need to always throw that out there. Yes. To quote Booker T, Test is looking real jacked, baby, in this match. He looked like a million bucks. Test looked awesome in this match.
Test was awesome. I don't understand why Test wasn't taken more seriously by the WWE. Like, he looked like money. He was great in the ring. He was good on the mic. Like, what didn't Test have? Like, I don't know what Vince didn't see in Test. Like,
it might have been that his name was Test. That might have, that's a hard thing to get over.
I mean, yeah, but like, Test is, I would say, I'm gonna say it, Test, cooler name than Triple H. Like, it just is. It's okay. Like, what the heck is I understand Triple H stands for Hunter Hearst Helmsley, but like, that alone, first off, Hunter Hearst Helmsley, terrible name. Triple H was a great alternative to that, but even still, Triple H, what? How is that cooler than Test? I don't get that.
That's a good point. Well, you know, Triple H did take Stephanie McMahon in kayfabe from, or not kayfabe, in storyline from.
Wait, Triple H took Stephanie's man.
One thing I wanted to note is for this match, while I was watching it and watching Trish on the outside, because she was on the outside of the match for a majority of it. She only tagged in really when things were going the way of Test and Albert. Watching her mannerisms and watching her on the ring apron, I get a lot of Mandy Rose vibes.
Yes.
They look similar. The level of, like, arrogance, I'm better than you, is similar.
Mandy Rose attire. That looks like a Mandy Rose attire.
It does look like something Mandy Rose would wear. And it gives me hope because I think going on to Mandy Rose for a little bit, she has grown a lot as a wrestler since she's gone onto the main roster. And I think that growth will continue. And I think if she can continue to build at this, I don't know if she'll ever build the same rate that Trish did, but if she grows even at half the rate that Trish did, Mandy's going to be a really good wrestler.
Yeah. You know, another person that, you know, can sort of relate to this is Alexa Bliss. Alexa Bliss's favorite wrestler was Trish Stratus. Alexa Bliss very much wears the same sort of attire that Trish was wearing in this match. You also see the mannerisms of an Alexa Bliss here. Trish was healing it the hell up. I mean, she's got a certain style of working here. It's sort of like she's experienced, but she's still not, like, very good at it. And that's sort of the Alexa vibe that I get here. And the same thing with Mandy. Like, they're good. They're on the main roster for more than their looks. They can wrestle, but they're still not, they're not at the, like, the peak level. They're not at the main event level. Like, they're not going to put on 4-star matches, much less 5-star matches. And that's pretty much what you see here from Trish at this level of her career.
There were certain points in this match when Trish was in that she looked a little lost. I think that that's fair because this is less than a year after she was signed. And it was a couple of months after she debuted. So the fact that she has only been wrestling for less than a year and still does as good as she does in this match is actually kind of impressive. She takes some decent bumps. She takes a big superplex bump at one point. And honestly, I think you could see where WWF, WWE saw the potential in Trish going forward.
Yeah, I mean, she looks, let's face it, she looks like $1 million. She does. Like, she, Trish Stratus. Fitness model. Trish Stratus is, like, I'm going to say it, she is the most beautiful woman in the history of professional wrestling. Like, she just, to me at least, she is. But she, like, it was clear that she had a firm grasp on the business. I mean, she wasn't, yeah, she was green in the ring, but she was very much in tune with her character. She very much knew how to heal it up. She very much knew how to wind the crowd up. She knew how to play to them. She just got it. She did. And, you know, obviously later on in the match, her and Lita do tangle up, but not before. There's a lot of intergender stuff in this. There's a lot of Trish getting tags stuff. Going in there, and she, like, beats on Matt. Matt doesn't make a tag. They just keep going. Like, it's not an immediate thing here.
There's also a lot of Lita, because I want to talk about Lita a little bit, too. She does great in this match. She hits a tornado DDT on Test at one point, which looked awesome. Does a huge dive on the outside to Albert. Lita consistently tangling it up with the male competitors. Trish doing a lot more of the, like, backing away, playing the heel. Lita being the babyface, doing a lot more, like, you know, showing a lot more bravado, I would say, in terms of challenging whoever. But Lita looked great in this match. And it's the first real part of their rivalry that lasts for so long.
Yeah, and this is peak Lita. Like, these couple years here from 2000 to, like, 2002, though, like, that's peak Lita because that's physical peak Lita. This was before the neck injury. This was before the knee issues. Yeah. This was before everything. This was Lita. She had already been to Mexico. She had already done her tour before WWE where she, like, harnessed her skills. She's a damn good worker. And she knows what she's doing in the ring, so it makes a lot of sense for her to, you know, be in this position. Like, her stuff with S.A. Rios, her stuff with the Hardys, her stuff on her own when 2001, 2002, that phase when she's facing China, when she's the women's champion doing her own thing. Lita was great. And it's really cool to see that dynamic here where Trish is the one who's sort of like, you know, I'm not doing... She's healing it up. And another thing that was really interesting between those two, a lot of their feud was Trish being the heel. It was always pretty much Trish being the heel, because Lita was like, it's the same thing with Jeff Hardy. It's really hard to turn Jeff Hardy heel. TNA managed to find a way, but it's really hard to turn Jeff Hardy heel because his moveset just plays to the crowd. Same thing with Lita.
Lita did turn heel pretty effectively with
Lita Edge. Turned heel very as effective as anyone can turn heel. She cheated on Matt Hardy, who was a fan favorite.
Yeah, and that'll turn you heel.
That'll do it. But yeah, it wasn't pretty much until the end where Trish wasn't the heel in their feud, and that's more because Trish was winding down. Everyone knew that she was done, and they had that match where, you know, Trish comes up in the end, and she's the. They're both baby faces in that match.
Yeah. The ending of this match is Lita hitting the moonsault on Trish for the win. Lita's moonsault, always so good.
Always. It's no Io Shirai, I'm going to say it. Io Shirai is... Her moonsault is gorgeous. Aside from that one in the Mae Young Classic, I understand. But Io Shirai has beautiful moonsault.
Lita's 100%. Is a lot more direct. Lita's never has, like, a high arc to it. It's always, like, she just does a full backflip and lands.
Yeah, it's a solid motion.
It's reminds me of Jeff Hardy's Swanton in that it always looks like, oh, she might not make it all the way. But she does. She connects each time. You know that she knows what she's doing. But it's not the same, like, high arcing moonsault. Like, even, like, Charlotte's is a lot more high in the air. Whereas, you know, every time Lita does it, I'm kind of like, oh, no, she did it. Okay, we're good.
Yeah, and the thing that's really cool about Lita and Jeff Hardy that made them so relatable is it's very obvious that they aren't, like, trained athletes. Like, they're not natural athletes. Like, Charlotte was an athlete, you know? Anyone who does, like, Neville, it's very clear that he has a background in some sort of athletics. Like, those high flyers have a background in something. These, like, Jeff and Lita were just people that like wrestling, so they wrestled. And, you know, maybe they're not the most athletic people, but they're going to do these moves because they just like throwing caution to the wind.
Agreed. Anything else you want to talk about with this match?
Not really. I mean, it was really interesting to see Trish in the early stages sort of develop as a character. And, like, she just caught it, man. Like, you knew that when the in-ring stuff sorted itself out, she was going to be money because she was already money as a heel at this stage.
Also, after the match, Albert beat down Lita, and everybody got beat down by TNA, and so they still get their heat back. But, yeah,
Trish whips Lita with a belt again.
She does, because, you know, go back to that good well. But, you know, a good first match, and I think, like you said, a sign of things to come from Trish. So the next match is a match that I forgot happened.
I didn't know this happened at all.
I'm really curious to hear your thoughts on it then. So this is from No Way Out 2001. So around a year after Trish debuted as a valet, now getting a featured singles match at No Way Out against Stephanie McMahon. And this is during, we had Javier mentioned earlier, Vince's infatuation, good friendship with Trish. That storyline involving when Linda McMahon was comatose. It's a weird storyline. It's a lot of random stuff. I really want to hear your thoughts on this match and this angle.
This match will not make it to the Tokyo Dome, I can tell you that much. I have to mention it at least once a podcast. You know, if there's a match that's not Tokyo Dome quality, it will be addressed. This is the match of all of them that is not Tokyo Dome quality at all. This was terrible. This was 100% about the story, and that's it. Obviously, Stephanie McMahon is not a wrestler. Stephanie McMahon is not trained as a wrestler. Stephanie McMahon cannot wrestle. This was obvious, but, like, I just don't know. Like, neither of them could carry a match. Neither of them had any idea what they were lost on multiple spots here. I mean, there was one where I believe it was Trish who hits a DDT. And that DDT took like a solid 7 to 8 seconds to set up because neither of them knew what to do. So Trish was just like, I'm going to hit you with a DDT. Like, oh, it was bad.
I loved this match. Not because it's good. Like, I will not say it's because it's good. I think the reason I loved it is because it so clearly wasn't a wrestling match. Like, it was a fight, and Stephanie was pissed off about Trish's relationship with her father. So, yeah, they're not going to have a clean wrestling match. They're not going to be doing, you know, any chain grapples. Like, it was just a brawl.
That's one way of putting parts, it.
It was a weird brawl. It reminded me of, like, a fight you might see outside of, like, like you're getting like a pizza after the bar and you look outside and two people are fighting and you're like, oh, what's going on? They're like, oh, I don't know, but they really hate each other and no actual punches are thrown, but they're just kind of like grappling each other. It's weird. It's a weird match.
So that was the perfect analogy. I go to UMass Amherst. UMass Amherst, probably the biggest party school on the East Coast. It's in the middle of nowhere. So the only real things to do here are go to class or get blackout drunk and go to the bars. I don't drink. I'm not a part of that culture, but whenever I do go to the middle of town and I've seen a couple of drunk fights, it's very funny. It's exactly that. It's just two girls who are like drunk and fighting outside of a bar. That is the quality of wrestling that this was.
Yet Trish is very sympathetic in this match because Stephanie is like beaten her down at some parts of the match, including one spot where Steph jumps off of the barricade onto Trish. What a weird... I would never have thought in my life that Steph would do that. How was that the spot that
made her sympathetic?
No, that's not the spot that made her sympathetic. But it was the spot that I thought stood out as the most strange thing. If you told me, like, hey, there's a Stephanie McMahon match from 2001. What do you think is a move she pulls? I would not have said anything off of the barricade. I wouldn't have said anything off of the top rope.
No, I'm going to say the part that made Trish sympathetic here is when... Stephanie starts pulling off her clothes and starts spanking her. And
this match might have been booked by Jerry Lawler.
This match was 100% booked by Jerry Lawler. Jerry Lawler, I sent you this quote earlier. So I'm definitely going to bring it up here. At one point in the match, in reference to Vince McMahon's situation, Jerry Lawler, I'm going to paraphrase this because I don't remember the exact quote and I didn't go back and look for it. He mentioned something called like the three rings of love. He said the first ring he had was the engagement ring, then the marriage ring, and the last he had was the suffer ring.
Womp, womp. Jerry Lawler clearly pitched ideas for this match. Because there's the spanking spot, and there's also a spot with a pitcher of water where Steph throws a pitcher of water at Trish to get her all wet. And, like, it's the Attitude Era, and you gotta take that with a grain of salt, but, like, that wouldn't fly now. Like, there's no way we're getting a spot like that in today's matches, I would hope. But... yeah, we've come so far. What a strange match. Like you said, no one was there to carry the match.
Nobody.
Like, neither one were that talented at that point in terms of being able to carry the action. So, yeah, a lot of looking lost. But I think you could see how people would get behind Trish. This is a good match to see that she was viable as a babyface because she really hadn't been babyface up until this point. And she isn't really a babyface in this match, but she becomes one very shortly after.
Yeah, let's just go to the next match.
Well, we got to talk about Billy Regal.
Oh, right, the finish. The finish was weird. NXT general manager William Regal, he's the Raw general manager at this time, correct?
He's at least an assistant to Vince, I believe.
He's one of those things.
Yeah.
He comes out. It's really, really weird. So what he does is he like stops the ref from counting by pulling him down, and then he hits the ref, and then he puts Trish and Steph were down because they double clotheslined, I believe it was, correct?
Yeah.
So instead of putting Steph on Trish, he puts Trish on Steph. The ref counts. He pulls the ref out again. Trish gets upset about this.
He put Steph's foot on the rope first.
Oh, right, yes. Put Steph's foot on the rope. Points it out to the ref. Trish is like, what the heck? Beats the ref down. Hits Trish with a weird, like, cravat suplex /
the Regal thing. Cutter.
I didn't know it had a name. Jeez.
It does. Thank you, Google.
It didn't look great. And then throw Steph on top. Steph wins the match. I don't know what happens after this match in the storyline.
Oh, I have Googled and I will read it verbatim. This is how we get to the Trish face turn and some of the worst booking. Vince McMahon always needs to book himself to be in relationships or in some angle with all the attractive employees he has, and it's one of the worst parts of his ownership of the company. But here's what happens. The next night, in the midst of a tag team match that pitted Vince and Stratus against Regal and Stephanie, Stratus was the victim of a setup by Vince, Stephanie, and Regal. Regal executed his finisher, the Regal Cutter, on Stratus, and Stephanie then dumped slop over Stratus's body. Vince stood over Stratus, and he told her she was a toy, which he had grown, quote, tired of playing with, quote. The angle continued the next week, with Vince forcing Stratus to strip down to her black bra panties in the ring and bark like a dog. You know that clip you've seen before?
Yeah,
that's where that garbage comes from. The storyline comes to an end at WrestleMania X7 when Stratus slapped Vince during his match against his son Shane, turning face in the process. What a nightmare. Javier is stunned.
Let's go on to the next match.
We will go on to the next one. And in what a turn of events this is in terms of quality of match and position of women's wrestling. So the next match we have is 3 years later, and it is a Raw main event. The first time the Women's Championship has main evented Raw. It is Trish Stratus as the champion versus Lita. Lita is in her home state. It's in North Carolina, so Lita gets a huge pop. It's, like I said, a monumental match. It's one that's often looked back on fondly in terms of the evolution of women's wrestling. Javier, have you seen the match before, and what are your thoughts?
I had seen the match before because, as you know from viewing the match, I was on YouTube. So I saw it on YouTube. There was also, I don't remember what it was, but there was a thing on the women. I don't remember if it was on the network or what it was, but there was a mention of this match, the being the Raw main event and how it inspired so many people. I think there was like a Women's Evolution thing, or maybe it was just one of those documentaries on just one of the Four Horsewomen or
whatever. Well, the link that we have that's in... on the article on full press coverage, it's actually Sasha's pick. So sometimes they do like WWE Network picks, and this is one of Sasha Banks's network picks for people to watch.
Yeah, so I guess that's what it is. I've seen the match before. I knew what it was. It's been a long time since I'd seen it. I don't remember the storyline surrounding it. I just know that this was the first time the women's title had main evented Raw. It was a big monumental moment, obviously, giving the women a platform. And honestly, they went out and they delivered. They definitely delivered.
It was an excellent match. And I think if you look at the first match we looked at back in 2000 and compare it to where they're at with this match, both are, I would say, more polished wrestlers, but Trish's growth specifically is massive. She always had a good sense of her character, but her character here is really great. She's the heel again. She has a face mask on because her nose was broken at Survivor Series. But as a competitor, Trish is a better wrestler in the ring than she was a couple years ago. You can see that she's really worked on her in-ring stuff. Her moveset is much more varied, and there's also a lot of moments where you can see that her and Lita are so familiar with one another that they're able to really trust each other in the ring and create new things when they're put in a good spot like this.
Yes. Also, not scantily clad. Very important. Very
the
important.
Growth. The growth.
She was in the classic Trish Stratus jumpsuit, the black one with the pink stripe that goes down the side.
I feel like she was in that gear in like a lot of wrestling games.
She was. That's why. Why it's an iconic one. It was like that in Raw versus SmackDown 2006. I believe it's 2006. The one that had Batista on the red side. Or no. Batista on the blue side. Cena on the red side. I know. Yeah. That was my favorite game when I was a kid, aside from GTA San Andreas. But that's beside the point. this match was awesome. It's a quick one. I believe in total the whole thing was like about 12 minutes long.
Time was about 9 minutes.
Yeah, the match time was about 9 minutes. It was quick, but it was effective. It really was. it displayed both of them. It also had a really scary spot with Lita.
Lita's dive.
Lita does a suicide dive out of the ring. That's like my fourth time trying to say it. I'm so sorry. Lita does a suicide dive, and she lands right on her head. Like, it was bad.
It's an accordion bump. Like, she folds up.
Yeah, she folds up like an accordion, full scorpion. For anybody who's seen the show Ridiculous, the scorpion segment that they have where they just have people do it, like, your foot touches the back of your head. Like, that was full Lita. She immediately grabs her neck. The ref comes down. You can clearly see him talking to her. Like, he doesn't throw up the X or anything, so I guess she was fine. But Lita's, like, just coming off of major neck surgery. This is the one that she had that basically resulted in the end of her career in a couple of years. Yeah, like, it's just wild to think, like, it's just the buildup of stuff, you know? Like, it's little things like that that really, like, effect in the long term. Same thing happened with Edge. It was the little things that built up, whether it was the reverberations from him hitting the spear. I mean, we've all probably seen that one video where he hit the spear on the outside and then he immediately grabs his neck. You know, it's really scary seeing stuff like that, especially knowing what happens and what the effects of stuff like that is later on, which unfortunately resulted in the retirement of one of the best women's wrestlers of all time.
Agreed. Some of the spots I really liked in this match, that one was the one that I think everyone looks at as like, oh, it's really scary. But the other parts of the match were all really good. There's one part early on where Trish does the Matrix dodge, which she's done a couple times in matches before. And Lita just kicks her legs out right away, which again shows that like familiarity they have as competitors, like that they can recognize right away. Lita's like, I've seen this before, kicks the legs out and immediately goes for the cover. I like that. I like that they're showing that, you know, being able to counter each other's moves and counter each other's counters is a really good thing, especially for two long-standing rivals like these two are. A lot of big moves in this match, too. There's a superplex at one point. There's a not really a top rope powerbomb, but Lita or Trish was on the top ropes and getting powerbombed off the top by Lita. And there was a really good reversal. And the best reversal, I'd say, is Lita goes for a twist of fate near the ropes, and Trish just holds onto the ropes so she can't get pulled down. And I thought that was a really smart move, because then she uses the ropes for pin leverage right away. Trish just total control over her heel character.
Yeah, just complete control. She knew what it took to make the crowd hate her. At this point, you know, of her run, she's been on both sides of the spectrum. Quick spoiler for what you usually ask me at the end of this podcast, but like, Trish was most effective when she was the heel.
I agree.
Yeah, she was the most effective when she was the heel. And she was healing it up this match, and she kind of had to, you know, in order to get the maximum reception from both the audience watching live and the audience watching on TV to build up Lita as the babyface. You really needed someone who was very effective in that heel role, and she was in this match, both in her ring work, which by this point was crisp, was getting to the level where she eventually would become one of the better female workers the WWE has ever seen. She really helped elevate both herself and Lita in this match, and it was a very good tandem that just gelled together very well.
Before we hop on to the finish, continuing with the trend of me noticing things that have nothing to do with the match, did you notice that in the crowd, everybody in the front has Lays on, like the Hawaiian Lays?
Wait, what do you mean?
Like, you know those, like, flower necklaces from Hawaii?
Yeah, I didn't notice it, but I know what you're talking
about. Everybody in the front of the crowd has Lays, so I Googled it. I was like, well, why do they have Lays? Chris Jericho was running Raw for the night, and so he said it was the biggest party in the history of Raw. Baby! Fozzie performed during Y2J's Rock and Roll Limbo A-Go-Go, featuring the sizzling divas, that's in quotation marks, of Candice, Maria, Melina, and Stacy Keibler. Christy Hemme won the limbo, but the fun was stopped short by Muhammad Hassan and Daivari, who let everyone know that Hassan's debut would come next week on Raw. What a mid-2000s sentence all of that was for professional wrestling. What a wild gimmick. Right? How wild is all of that?
That is, like, I want to watch that so bad, because that, like, all relates exactly to what I love in wrestling. But, like, what?
If I can find a link, I will include it in the Trish episode, or I will tweet it out after this episode airs.
But also send it to me. Like, just send it to me. Absolutely. I need everything about this. Forget about the audience. I need this more than anyone.
I think that's fair.
I need a couple seconds here, so I just run through the finish.
For sure. So Lita wins. So Lita ends up winning the women's championship in her home state of North Carolina, and its adopted home state, I believe, of North Carolina. She hits the moonsault as she did in their match, their six-person tag match back in 2000, and gets an awesome reaction. Jim Ross on the call is great, as Jim Ross normally is. This is right around when he was. This is near the end of his really good run on commentary, I'd say, because it started around the Attitude Era, and this is when it started to drop off a little. But a great call from JR, a less pervy call from Jerry the King, which we always appreciate, is when he can actually focus on what's going on in the ring. But, you know, Lita wins with a moonsault. Great reaction. Good choice by WWE letting somebody win in their home state, because they're so against that, it seems. But overall, you know, a solid match, a really good main event. And you can see why other female wrestlers who were fans growing up would see this match and go, like, I want to do that.
Yeah, no, this is definitely, like, it established a platform for women in the WWE that hadn't been established yet. It showed them taking, like, putting an emphasis on taking them seriously. Now, it would take another, like, decade before they would actually begin to take them seriously. Which is more of a knock on the company as a whole than anything. But it wasn't for lack of the women trying. I mean, they had some great stars in that time period. Natalya, Beth Phoenix, you know, the Bella Twins made their run. Michelle McCool. They had a lot of great talent. And this really was sort of the launching pad, this match here, to sort of the women becoming a spotlight and becoming a featured role for their work as wrestlers rather than, you know, what they looked like and how they could be used in relativity to the men.
Agreed. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we will dive into the Trish Stratus promo. All right, looking at Trish's promo that we chose, and it's with Lita. It is a dueling promo of sorts. It is super weird. It's a good Trish promo in terms of her ability to talk. It starts with her coming out and calling out Lita to get I think she wants to apologize is kind of the vibe I got. It's disingenuous. Trish is the heel as usual. And Lita at this point is married to Kane. Remember that?
Yeah. Before Schnitzky punted the baby, I believe.
It wasn't my fault. I don't know why I made Schnitzky sound like Vince McMahon a little bit there.
Yeah, but, I don't. You know, that sounded nothing like Schnitzky.
It wasn't his fault, damn it. But yeah, so Lita comes out to meet Trish, and Trish is very disingenuous this whole time, but is excellent on the mic. What did you think of the promo?
Yeah, so I mentioned this to you before the podcast. I got really big Regina George vibes from Trish. She definitely saw Mean Girls and was like, screw it, I'm going to do that. You know, she basically became more hated than Lita, which is wild because this was after the whole Lita-Matt Hardy thing. So yeah. Lita was still in that weird phase of, I'm actually a babyface character-wise, but everyone hates me because I kind of screwed my boyfriend over, who was kind of like the indie darling, but actually working for WWE.
Yeah.
So it was really weird. Like, it was a lot of the crowd booing Trish because she was very effective as the heel. She was amazing on the mic here. She couldn't have done a better job there to establish people hating her, establish what her intentions are, just sound as completely disingenuous as possible. She did everything flawlessly. But also it was weird because it was supposed to be Lita as the babyface, but everyone in the background is saying, you screwed Matt.
Like, yeah. At first when Trish is talking, the fans are really harsh. They say things, they start a slut chant, which Trish immediately deflects, being like, guys, don't be rude to Lita. Like, that's mean. And, like, was it to Lita? Was it to Trish? We don't know. But Trish did a really good job to make sure that she was annoying and that the fans would boo her. She also calls the fans idiots a couple times, which, again, great. Is it easy heat? You're absolutely right, it is. But is it effective heat? Yes, it is. But you're right. Lita, very heelish, because Lita's out there and she has her knee in a cast and she has a crutch, which was Trish's fault. Trish had attacked her. But she blindsides Trish with Kane and a crutch. And, like, that's some heelish behavior right there.
Yeah, it was just really weird. It really was, man.
But that's not even the weirdest part.
It's not the weirdest part, but it's just this thing was so just, it was a train wreck. It was really spicy. There was a lot of tea going around here. Just I don't know what's happening, but I can't stop watching. It's literally, remember the Lana Rusev Bobby Lashley thing, the reveal or the wedding, and then Liv Morgan comes out, all that jazz. Everyone hated it, but I was in the group chat like, I freaking love this. This is spice. This is what I want in wrestling. Like, this is the drama I need. This was this promo. Like, I don't understand what's happening, but I just can't stop watching. Like, if this was made for an audience that does not watch New Japan Pro Wrestling, they watch The Bachelor. That is what this was made for, and I appreciate that. I don't watch The Bachelor. I couldn't care less about The Bachelor, but I love the tea, and this was made for that.
You should watch The Bachelor. It's pretty good. It's because the weirdest part, the thing that is so strange that happens, is Trish is protected by Viscera.
Yes.
Viscera comes out and beats Kane up, and then just carries Trish away.
Was he the big love machine at this point?
This is like, I think, what kicks off Big Daddy V era Viscera, because he's no longer like full ministry Viscera. That was, you know, 6 years ago at this point. But
it's just so much.
He's ordered to protect Trish for the next little bit, and it's a short lived alliance, but really weird. I saw the promo because it was on YouTube as like one of Trish's best promos. And when I saw Kane, I was like, oh, what a weird way to end this promo. And then Viscera came out, and I was like, I did not see this going in this direction at all, and I kind of love it.
You were like, I've been bamboozled, who'd win?
I had been bamboozled.
Run amok, led astray, and flat out deceived.
Let's get into the next match, match number 4. I'm going to let you introduce this match.
Yes.
I know you really like this match.
Yes, WrestleMania 21, the greatest WrestleMania of all time. I'm just going to say it right now. The WrestleMania I've seen more than any, because it was the defining WrestleMania of my lifetime, especially is the defining WrestleMania to this day of my wrestling fandom.
Now, before I get you into WrestleMania 20, it's 22.
Is this 22?
This is 22, my friend.
This is not 22.
This is WrestleMania 22.
No, because this is the Hollywood one.
It is not, my friend.
Are you lying to me right now, Evan?
I am not.
No, I think you're lying to me.
WrestleMania 22 in 2006.
2006. Oh,
Rosemont,
no.
Illinois.
Oh, my God.
Allstate
what
Arena.
Was I thinking? This is the Cena Triple H main event. Oh, no. I also like this WrestleMania. This is the second most defining. Or no, 2007 is the second most defining one of my lifetime. Because that was Edge, Undertaker, and also Cena, Shawn Michaels. It was a big thing. It was big in my life. But
there was
also
a good run of WrestleManias here, but this is WrestleMania 22, but I'll let you get into the match.
I did not. That just completely, I feel like an idiot now. Everyone listening, do not get in my mentions about this. This is not what you get in my mentions for. Tell me who was the person in the Hard Times promo. I'm still waiting. But anyways. Yeah, no, it's Mickey James, Stalker Mickey, Obsessed Fan Mickey, every BTS fan out there, Mickey, and Trish. It's really weird. This is the one that everyone knows because it's the very lesbian undertones with what Mickey's doing. It was very controversial at the time. It was Mickey. She was the fanatical fan. She loved Trish. Trish was the champ. She was the babyface. But for some reason or another that we'll get to in a couple minutes here, she was treated like she wasn't the babyface by the crowd. I don't understand it to this day. But
so Mickey turned heel before WrestleMania.
Yes.
So Mickey had debuted in October as Trish's number one fan. They teamed up quite a bit. Mickey then became obsessed and very protective and turned on Trish when Trish said she needed space. Yeah. And then vowed to destroy Trish. Her words, not mine. And Trish at that point was a six-time champ and was in her longest reign with the belt. And that's kind of why she was the heel. And Trish was just kind of like fending off this person who was not giving her any space.
Yeah, so in storyline, Trish is the babyface, Mickey's the heel. In the match itself, the crowd is very much behind Mickey. And I know
they comment on it. Commentary talks about it quite a bit.
Yeah, I know it's just counterculture with wrestling where we like to cheer for the interesting character over the straight babyface. And by this point, yeah, I would assume that Trish was pretty tired as a babyface, especially considering
she'd been champion 448 days.
Yeah. I mean, that's wild.
I think
wild.
That's fair for the fans to be like, we're tired of this reign.
Yeah, and that's a great point, but it's just really weird. And, like, this match, like, it's hard to talk about this match without just immediately going to the finish. All right, let's just say it here. It's a good match. It's not the best match ever, but it's solid, especially for the time. In the landscape of WWE wrestling, this is one of the better matches that the company had run to this point involving women, especially for the championship. And you know, it's good, it's solid work. That's the best thing I could say about this match. The finish is really what matters here, and I hate this version of it because it's the version that is chopped and screwed by WWE. I know what really happened here because I watched it. It is not what Evan is going to link to you. That is false. It did not end with a good-looking stratisfaction. Or is that was the finish, correct? Stratisfaction.
So Mickey wins it with a kick, but she reverses Trish's stratisfaction. And you don't see really how she reverses Trish's stratisfaction because they cut to the stands. They cut to the crowd. So because WWE loves to do revisionist history, and they don't want people to see what actually happened. And I will let you explain what
that
actually happened.
That is also not the only one. So, not only does she do this, she does a thing. So, Trish, for those who don't know, the stratisfaction is she puts her in the bulldog position. She jumps on the rope, twirls, bulldog. It's basically an elevated bulldog off the rope. So in order to get out of it, Trish sticks her hand in the crotch area. I'm sorry, Mickey sticks her hand in the crotch area of Trish and then afterwards licks her hand in a very suggestive way that would, you know, she makes a V with her hand. I'll let you make an inference on that one. But then it leads to the worst looking stratisfaction by Mickey, which was completely taken out of this match. They completely botched it. And then it leads to the chick kick that Mickey hits. 1, 2, 3. Mickey
and
wins.
She doesn't hit the kick well either.
It's a terrible looking chick kick. It's awful. Like
it's a
so
really deflating bad. Ending for what is, up until that point, probably my favorite match of Trish's in this five, including the one we'll get to next. But it was, just... with the editing, it made for a really bad finish because that was part of the storyline. Like, that is part of it. Let fans, you know, experience that because it was part of what made the storyline so engaging to fans. Like, don't edit out your history. It's a really good ending for that feud. And, yeah, does Mickey pretend to perform cunnilingus on her fingers? Yeah, she does. Is that inappropriate for some fans? Absolutely. Did I have to take a second to realize what the phrasing was I was going to use? Absolutely. But, like, for the finish, it's needed because then, yeah, it leads directly into Mickey's stratisfaction, which we don't really see.
Because it doesn't happen because it was completely botched. Because
it was so botched, and then it's just a chick kick and it's over. And you needed all of it in there. Because aside from that, the match is really good.
Yeah, it's a very solid match, and that's pretty much all you really could ask for at this point, was just a solid women's match. Like, is this Friggin', if this is this Bailey Sasha at TakeOver in Brooklyn? No, it's not. It's not that level of match, but it's good. It's one of Trish's better matches. It's a very important match in the grand scheme of women's wrestling because it's a WrestleMania match for the title. And by this point, there haven't been many of those. And it's a one on one match at that. Like it was a one on one match that got some time on TV. It was built up over multiple months, and it led to a match that did it justice, except for the fact that WWE chopped and screwed it because they botched the Stratisfaction, and we went PG.
Yep. One other note on the match, two notes actually. One is there's a spot where they're on the outside, and Trish goes to kick Mickey in the head, and Mickey ducks, and Trish hits the ring post. I thought that was a really well-executed spot, and it kind of led to Trish being a little bit damaged throughout the rest of the match, which I thought was a really good psychology piece. Also, Mickey's outfit includes little tiny boots with fur on them that I think are hilarious and more people need to wrestle in them. They're just, okay, so these little boots with fur trim. She had the boots with the fur. Well ahead of that song.
I hate you so much for that.
I know you do.
But Mickey in this match looked exactly like I would have expected Paris Hilton to look at any point during this time period.
It is literally very mid 2000s during this time period. We good to go to match five?
Go ahead and say the next match. I have some notes from this match that I want to carry over to the next one.
Much later, so Trish retired. And then came out of retirement for things like Evolution and for the first Women's Rumble. And then this was her retirement match. And it is SummerSlam 2019 in Toronto, Ontario, Canada. And it's against Charlotte. And what are your thoughts?
This is Trish's best match. It's absolutely Trish's best. I love this match. I thought this was one of the better matches from that pay-per-view, which was, in all honesty, rather underwhelming as a whole. I thought this was awesome. You also missed out on, which was very important, from Trish's retirement phase, she had a WrestleMania match with Snooki. Come on, man. Oh. Her, Snooki, oh, and Morrison against... whoever it was, doesn't matter. But her and Snooki were on the same team. And that's the important bit of it.
Is it really?
It's very really important. I didn't watch The Bachelor, but I saw a lot of Jersey Shore, and I am here for this. This is important. Don't you disrespect Snooki. I will not have that.
I will give you that. That's fair.
But yeah, no,
back to the actual good match.
Now to the actual match that matters. The spot that I thought that would have been really cool was a redo of that spot that you mentioned with the ring pole. She goes for a chick kick on Charlotte, misses, hits the pole, and eventually, all right, spoiler alert, it's Trish's retirement match. You should know what the finish is.
She goes out on her back the way that everybody who's retiring is supposed to. She does tap out.
Yes, she taps out to Charlotte's finisher, which is the figure eight. It would have been really cool for her to do that chick kick spot, and then, you know, it's a progress, because Charlotte does work the leg, which, by the way, I'm going to say it, Charlotte is fantastic as a heel. The way she works the leg when she's a heel is amazing. Like, it's textbook. It's like old school Ric Flair. You know, she grinds the leg down. She really, really does the work as a heel, and it's really awesome. I hate her as a babyface. I do. She should be the cocky heel. She should be, you know, prime worker. She should be awesome. She's awesome in that role, and I don't understand why she isn't in that role 24/7, because she was terrific in this match.
Agreed. I think it's interesting, in the beginning, in the entrance of Trish's entrance, they actually referenced the Raw main event match against Lita, which I thought was a cool little parallel with what we're looking at here. And this is a match that really showcases how far women's wrestling has come. Trish hangs in this match. She absolutely hangs with Charlotte, who we talked about. Charlotte is like a peak athlete. Like, she is an athletic specimen. She is a talented in-ring performer. Trish, you can see, if you looked at Trish from her first match in 2000, if you tried to put her in the ring with Charlotte, it would not be the same. Trish has grown. She is a much better athlete. She's a much better performer. And in this match, she hit all the right notes, I'd say.
Yeah, no, this match was very much just Trish really going all out because she knew this was it. You know, this was her retirement match. She was done after this match, and she wanted to go out in the right way. There wasn't anything that really felt like it was, this could have been a botch, or this was kind of like a dull moment. Like, this, the whole thing, it was crisp. Like, I watched the entirety of it, and at no point did I want to turn away. I couldn't say that about any of the other matches. At no point, I didn't want to check my phone. I didn't want to do anything. I love this.
Would you say, so this is something I heard, they're on the outside of the ring, and you can clearly hear a fan say, "I am very stratified right now." And I know you hate the phrase stratified, but would you say this match left you stratified?
Let's move on to the next point.
So, a really good, and we talked about how Charlotte's an excellent heel, a really good bit of healing is Trish is bringing Charlotte into the ring, and Trish is walking up the steps, and Charlotte just cuts her legs out from under her, and Trish's face hits the steel steps, and I was like, oh, not something you see often, and perfectly executed. And it, again, it looked bad. Like, it looked like it hurt a lot.
Dude, it looked amazing. Again, this whole match was very good. Like, seriously, if you're going to watch any of the matches from this list and you haven't already seen this one, definitely watch it. And if you did and you don't remember it, watch it again. Like, this match is awesome. Like, I thoroughly enjoyed this match. This was really entertaining from opening bell to closing bell. Like, Charlotte Flair is amazing. I'm going to say, like, Charlotte, I think Becky, of any of the active women, is going to be the potential greatest of all time just because she's got everything. Like, she's got more than she's almost as good as Charlotte is in the ring. She's got the character on lock. She can play heel or babyface. She's just a star in every essence of the word. But I really do think that Charlotte Flair is the best worker of any of the women on the roster right now. I think she's amazing. I really do. I think she's, say what you want about Io Shirai, say what you want about Asuka, about your Kairi Sane, about your Rhea Ripley's, anyone down in NXT, anybody on any of the shows, AW, TNA. I'm not privy to the Joshis in Japan, but like, say, I think Charlotte is the best female in-ring worker in the world right now. And this was peak Charlotte here. She was so good in this.
And I would say that Trish is the best women's wrestler to come out of the Attitude Era.
Yeah,
I think some argument can be made for Lita. Some argument can be made for people like Ivory or Jazz. China. Jazz was a little past Attitude Era. China, yeah. But I think in terms of complete package, like we talked about, character work, facial expressions, in-ring work, mic work, the whole deal, Trish had all of it.
Yeah, she had everything. She had a complete grasp for her character, whether it was a heel or a babyface. And I think it's really important to mention that at WrestleMania, she turned on Chris Jericho and went with Christian. And honestly, I still feel a little betrayed by that. And I love Trish Stratus, but like, on what planet do you choose Christian over Chris Jericho? Like, what are we
Somebody
doing
Somebody
has here?
To choose Christian.
Yeah, and it's his name is Edge. That is the only person that chooses Christian. That is the only one. And his wife. But other than that, you always choose Chris Jericho. Always.
I didn't expect this level of heat. I'm surprised. There's not a lot we can say in terms of how good this match is without like people just going back and checking it out. Charlotte's work as a heel is tremendous. There are some points in the match where, even though I think we all knew going in, Trish had said it was her retirement match, that she would lose, there are still some points in there where you think that they're going to give Trish the win in her hometown.
Yeah.
Specifically when she hits, or when she locks in the figure eight, she does her own figure eight, which looks pretty good.
Yeah, and I thought the way that they set that up was perfect, that whole spot. She does it, she locks it in. I mean, it's important to note that Trish does run a yoga studio. Like, she is very much in shape. She's probably in the best shape of her life right now. So it's like, she can do the move. Like, she can do it, honestly, probably just as well as Charlotte can. But, like, the spot sort of, you know, has the thing where, like, she does the move, and the way it gets broken up isn't Charlotte breaking it up because they're in the middle of the ring. It's just Trish's arms give out because she can't hold it much longer. And it's sort of, supposed to, I mean, Corey Graves touches on it in commentary. It's supposed to, like, sort of ring to the fact that Charlotte is, like, a freak. That's why she's able to hold the move so long. And I thought that was really well executed. I really did. Yeah. Another thing that was really cool was when she hits the Stratisfaction. She hits a clean. And I genuinely, like, they got me. I knew the finish to the match, and they still got me. I was like, oh, I really wanted her to get it.
Yeah. That's the five matches. What are your overall takeaways from going through Trish's whole body of work?
Yeah, I'm going to say it again. I think she's the greatest female wrestler that WWE's ever had. I'm going to, like, that, no ifs, ands, or buts. I mean, she's better than Nikki Bella. She's better than Lita. I'm not going to harp on the active ones, because Charlotte's still building her resume. Yes, it looks better than Trish's now. Yes, she just beat Trish in a match. Yes, she's had better matches than Trish has. But Charlotte's still going. I'm not going to call Charlotte Flair the GOAT. Like, Tom Brady's the best football player of all time, but Tom Brady's 42. Like, he's got 20 years of work behind him. Charlotte's got, like, five. Like, I can't do that. I just can't. And, at one point, yes, I do believe that Charlotte Flair or Becky Lynch is going to be the greatest women's wrestler of all time. That's not that. That's not now. Trish is now. Trish inspired all of these women. Like, she's so good. She came up as a fitness model, and she did everything the right way. You know, she was very in tone with her character. She survived the Vince McMahon love angle, and somehow became one of the better workers in the business. Like, she was really good. She was just, I mean, she chose Christian, which, like, again, like, questionable here, but, like, you know, she kind of goes, I'd put that at the same level as the Vince McMahon thing, but still, like, you know, she was one of the greatest women's champions of all time. She held the title for over 400 days. Like, that's wild.
I think one of the pieces for Trish is that of the match, of the superstars we've looked at so far, there is no one who I've seen grow more from match one to match five than Trish Stratus. There is no one who's had that level of, like, improvement that we've seen over their entirety of work. We've seen a lot of, like, here's somebody who wrestled for X number of years, you know, and we're going to look at the best of the best. Like, if we think of, you know, Randy Savage's matches, we picked five of Savage's best matches. We didn't see a lot of his early, early stuff. With these five matches with Trish, we really saw her evolution in terms of her character work and her in-ring ability. And I think you can see why. If you were a female growing up and you saw Trish Stratus doing what she was doing on TV, having that long championship reign, you know, controlling her character, things like that, you can see why that would inspire you to want to be a wrestler.
Yeah, and I think that's something that's going to be really cool about the next couple of episodes that we're going to do, is you're going to see a lot of that progression in a lot of the people here. Trish is the prime example to it, which is why I'm really glad that she's the first, not only the first woman that we've done, but the first wrestler that we're going to do of this next couple of stretches here, where it is a lot of people from the exact beginning to the very end, and just seeing that progression, not only with them in their lives, but also them as wrestlers, them as characters, just them as workers, everything. It's really cool, and I'm really excited for the next couple of episodes that we're going to do.
And we're really glad that you all keep listening to these wonderful episodes. We've had some good responses so far, and we're really glad to keep doing this for you. But with that, we will wrap up this week's episode. Javier, where can the people find you on social media?
As always, people can find me on the good old Twitter. I am at JMello Sports. That is capital J, capital M, ELO Sports. Again, I'm a sports journalist. I do a lot of the sports talk things. I post a lot of my articles. I talk a lot about UMass sports. I go here. Cover the teams. I'm sorry in advance. If you want to talk about wrestling, just talk to me about wrestling. I will respond. Nobody's talked to me yet. I'm lonely, people. I know there's a lot of you that listen to this. For some reason, you like hearing me talk. Someone talk to me about this stuff. You know? Tell me who it was in the Hard Times promo. I want to know.
You know? Javier's been waiting for this for his whole life.
I really have been. Lob a follow if you want to. I'm trying to build up a network here, people.
I like this a lot. This is good. Javier begging for follows. You can find me on Twitter at @EvanGomes_. You can follow the podcast on Twitter at @CrossBodyOfWork. You can email the podcast at crossbodyofworkpod@gmail.com. If you have any ideas for wrestlers we should cover in the future, matches we've missed, or you have some fun facts or some ideas about the podcast, just shoot them to us. You can also follow Full Press Coverage Wrestling, which is where we post all the articles that have the links to all the matches. You can follow that at @FPC_wrestling on Twitter, and just check out the website, fullpresscoverage.com. There's a whole lot of other awesome podcasts in the Full Press radio network. A couple awesome wrestling podcasts that are also in the network. Shout out to the Canadian boys at Tacomania, as well as the guys at Boot to the Face. Great weekly content. So follow them if you don't already, and follow us and join us on this journey. We got some more awesome episodes coming up.
We've also got some spicy WrestleMania coverage coming soon. The Prodigal Son, there are rumors flying around. The Prodigal Son might be writing a couple of articles coming up here soon.
So very exciting stuff. You should check out on the road to WrestleMania, because it's only a couple weeks left until WrestleMania when this episode drops. So we'll hope you'll join us then. Have a good week, everybody.
See you guys.